This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Get it together, bud.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's Major League. It's a movie come to life,
yes.
Rich. And, you know, the movie Major League is a comedy, and so are the Oakland A's.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler. Still to come, Spurs television analyst Michelle Beadle. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air, live on the Roku channel. As soon as we are done with this hour, guess what? We re-air. You can't get rid of us, is basically what I'm saying.
We're everywhere.
We are. We're on the Roku channel. We're on Sirius XM Odyssey. We're on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate as well. We've got a podcast version of this program because people, you know what? They have a right to listen to us whenever they want.
Whenever.
It's called On Demand. There's also a video on demand service as part of our Roku channel relationship as well. Yeah. It's called the Rich Eisen Show Collection. Sounds very fancy. Okay. So we got
fancy.
That as well. Michelle Beadle's about to join us on this program. I believe she's on or she's not on. We're calling her back. Very good.
She's on.
So we're gonna have Michelle Beadle in a second here on the program. Based on the photograph that, to me, this was the top story of the weekend. We're waiting for the NFL season to begin, and we obviously just finished with the NBA draft. But seeing this photograph of Victor Wembanyama with Tim Duncan and David Robinson, and both of them looking like point guards because of how tall Victor Wembanyama is. Sean Elliott has not aged. And Manu Ginobili looks like he's the sommelier at the restaurant. I'll be very honest with you. So Wembanyama is now a San Antonio Spur in more than just name only. He is part of their culture already. And somebody who's very well aware of this is a longtime fan of the team, but now working as part of their broadcast from Amazon and FanDuel as well. My colleague from way back in the day on the Worldwide Leader, Michelle Beadle, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Michelle?
What's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm great. Where was this restaurant? San Antonio, right? What do we got for me?
Yeah, San Antonio.
What do you got
for me? It's a restaurant called Bliss.
Okay.
It's on the short list of Pop's faves. So,
okay.
You know, it's very important. Because Pop was also there. He's just not in the picture. It was a pretty iconic dinner for a kid's first day at work.
So, yeah, walk me through what you know about this dinner, Michelle. Walk me through.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, as everybody knows that watched the draft and has been paying attention, it's such a whirlwind, and this year particularly so for Wembanyama. I mean, there's a number one pick every year. It doesn't feel like this. And so he's been nonstop going at it. They flew him in. There were several hundred people waiting at the airport, which when I tell you it's hot here, that doesn't even do it justice. It's disgustingly hot. And so to just wait out there for him, and then next thing you know, it's him. His family was all there. They were two chef's tables were set up. His family was at one, and then all the guys were at the other. And it's just, you know, getting Tim to come out is big. Sean's like pre-mill and wine. He'll be there. He's easy.
That's me, too. That's me, too.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
If Pop's picking up the tab and he's picking the wines, no-brainer. But it's just such a, you know, I'm not a very cheesy person when it comes to this stuff, but it is different here, I think, than 99% of teams because there were a lot of kids that were flown into the cities that they're going to now play for, and this was not happening. They don't have legends that are still in town that are willing and able and want to sort of take you under their wings. And so it's pretty cool. And Tony Parker will also be a part of this entire thing. He's just more back and forth, I think, than most of the guys.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a family thing, which if it was any other team, I'd probably tell you, like, ugh, get out of my face. And I get it. I get that we're going to get a lot of hate, but it's not. It's a team I love, and so it's quite fun to watch.
It is pretty neat, Michelle. And I'm sure, again, for this kid who obviously knew about the Spurs because, you know, Tony Parker signed his checks for a little bit. Boris Diaw signed his checks last year and still signing checks, I imagine. And then you got just the general sense of him knowing who the Spurs are. For him to suddenly get drafted by him, he knew it was going to happen, though, but, I mean, to get drafted by him and then suddenly wind up at the dinner table with Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Manu Ginobili, Sean Elliott, for him, it's exactly what he had to have envisioned as a dream come true.
I mean, I can't – I think – I can't even imagine. I'm sure, like, you must have had that moment. I had a moment like that in my career where it was just like a goosebumpy sort of tears. And then Zaza Pachulia murdered Kawhi Leonard in the Western Conference Finals, and it was over. But it was really good up until that point. And so I feel like for this kid, you have all of those things, and you're 19. And yes, he's a worldly 19, and he's been doing this for quite some time, but he's still 19, and I'm not going to forget that. And it's hard to forget it when, you know, you're sitting across looking at them. Both the guys, we've got two French guys in this draft. We are the most international team. It's just so many languages being spoken. I kind of love it. But it was crazy to think, and I'd ask them about it, is that they kind of grew up. I mean, they knew who Tony Parker. Tony Parker is such a success story because when he came here, nobody knew who he was. He was just this 18-year-old that they took a flyer on, and it worked out perfectly, and Boris Diaw. What I did notice, and I'm not even trying to be shady about it, but I left there the other day thinking no one mentions Rudy Gobert. And I thought it was crazy. These kids all grow up playing basketball, wanting to come over here and be in the NBA. And it was Boris Diaw and Tony Parker and nothing about Rudy Gobert. So I don't know. Somebody needs to get to Rudy Gobert and work on the PR.
I mean, if we're on the subject of lost Frenchmen, how about Evan Fournier? Frederick Weiss, you know, Frank Ntilikina, they're not getting their due. You know what?
Oh, yeah, that could have been great.
You know what I mean?
I know. It's Boris Diaw. I love that Boris Diaw. I mean, granted, he's now like a GM, but he wasn't always. I mean, he's mostly known for sailing around the world in his boat. So it's kind of cool that the French kids, it's such a weird connection to San Antonio and France. Like, I would have, if you told me that 25 years ago, I would have laughed. And here we are.
Michelle Beadle right here, Run It Back co-host in San Antonio Spurs. Part of the broadcast team here on the Rich Eisen Show, my friend from ESPN from back in the day. Your interview with Victor Wembanyama, how'd you find this kid? What'd you think?
You know, I'm getting him at the end of basically four straight days. And even then, just to be as professional as it, because you could tell, I mean, you know, sitting across from him, I could tell he was tired and exhausted. I actually felt guilty. I was like, oh, we'll have other times to do this, but yes, we have to do this today.
Right.
And it's nonstop. And I think, you know, you're in a new city. You now need to leave this sort of craziness of a press conference and all these people. You still have to figure out where you're going to live. Your family's here. They want to obviously get you settled as much as possible. They'll be doing the back and forth as well because, you know, he's got two siblings that both play ball. So they can't just be here 24/7. So there's a lot of juggling. And it's quite the effort. He's got to go to Portland. I'm not sure yet what their plan is to do with Summer League. Today, of course, it was announced he's not going to play for the French team at FIBA. So that, I guess, buys him a little bit of rest, or at least a little less work than it would have been. But he's just, it's nonstop. It's crazy, too, because the other guy that was drafted at 44 is just sort of like, I feel bad for Victor. I was like, yeah, I think we all sort of feel like he's having a really long 3 days, but
right.
Don't feel too bad. He's already loved, and he hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, but a good kid, right? I mean, like, how about
Completely.
That? What do you got for me?
Like, very just sort of open and honest. I wanted to talk food, and he was like, I'm afraid I'm going to not like the baguettes and croissants here. And I was like, yeah, you're not. They're not even close. But we have other things that you're going to like. And so it'll be fun. And I know he's getting a lot of heat for how thin he is, and he is. But again, he's 19, and I think he's in the right hands. They got a nutritionist. They got a trainer. They're going to do all the good stuff. He just happens to be a really skinny kid. It happens. Bless his heart.
Well, you know, a lot of the conversation about just how skinny he is was based on you as well, Michelle, right? Are you aware of that part of this conversation over the last 48 hours?
That picture was like, I that was my first time seeing him in person, too. First of all, I didn't know my arms were buff until I saw that picture. And I'll be honest with you, I was shocked.
Yo.
Like, pleasantly surprised.
Michelle, come on. It wasn't an arm day for you that day? I mean, come on. It wasn't arm day?
What, DM me your triceps workout.
Yeah, seriously.
I know. It's literally yoga. I don't even do weights. It's all, like, chaturangas and yoga, which
okay.
I know I sound like a douche. But
no, you sound like somebody who is doing something healthy is what you sound like to
me. Yeah,
you know,
I'll take him to some hot classes, and he'll be good to go in no time. I can't imagine him in a hot class.
No, I mean, so please walk me through. What do you know about what their plan is for him on that front?
I mean, he's got people around him. He's going to have his own sort of separate side, and he has a trainer, the nutritionist, because the Spurs I think are kind of all over the place. Some guys have their own, and again, remember this team is average age is like 20. So it's not your team of vets that are coming in with their own personal chefs. Like Chris Paul going somewhere, he's got somebody already. He's had somebody. These are all kids that are kind of learning this as they go. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Spurs, sort of having been entrenched in the ways they've been for so long, this will also be a bit of a learning experience on the and that side of things. But I don't think he will suffer in that department. The food part is fine. It's more about doing it in a healthy way. You don't bulk up as a basketball player. You just have to get stronger. That's kind of the difference in what I think we all think of. And anyone else, he's just going to want to put pure muscle on, but that's not really the goal here, is it? It's so that he can withstand whatever's thrown at him in the paint and anywhere else. And so I think that is the goal here. That, you know, Zach Collins will probably get the brunt of trying to go up against him in practice. Again, there's no comparable size to throw at him. Like, there's nothing. I mean, if you want to get Boban to come in here, I guess, for some practice, but he's a very unique person. And so I think there's going to be a lot of learning as we go, but yeah. The excitement level, when I tell you on Saturday, you know, you leave the season last year and nobody was depressed. It's just, you know, we know what we were. It was a bad record, young team, fun, but also it's a long season. And then you fast forward to last Saturday and it was just like beaming faces and here we go again. And there's just such hope in the air. So it's nice. It's nice to feel that again.
Michelle Beadle here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Greg Popovich here. How is he dealing with all that? I mean, he's got to be out of his mind, right? Like ecstatic.
It's crazy. It's like, right? It's like Al Pacino having a baby at 82. It's like starting all over again.
Great analogy. Great analogy. Yeah, you know,
what it feels like to me, but good. It's all good. It's, you know, I love the fact that it's been reported, you know, he's got a 3-year deal waiting whenever he feels like signing it. Like, that's just such a pop sentence to me. Mm-hmm. Because the joke's always been that there's going to be no heads up. It's just going to be a text and he's done. And then this happens and sort of like a new lease on life. And the fact that he has all of the guys from the teams that he loved the most, they're all still around and most of them are part of the team. They do things with the team already. I think there's a renewed sense of coaching. There was already that with Jeremy Sochan last year. A lot of people, you know, people didn't watch Spurs games, but he was already, you could see him taking him under him, you know, arm and walking him off the court, teaching him, coaching him. There's like a love there. I think the fact that Jeremy is a unique guy on his own, Pop likes that. And now we have this generational, hopefully once in a lifetime type player come in. Yeah, it makes the job fun. And I just think it's renewed time. And I think it's like that for everybody in the building. Even PR, even Tom James, grumpy old Tom James, looks like a happy guy. So I think it's going to be fun to watch, like a different vibe altogether.
Yeah, it's not just more runway maybe for him in his career if he wants it, Michelle. It's also that he will get a chance to set up shop for the Spurs after him, however he's, you know, however I assume he chooses or sees fit, because Wembanyama is going to provide the dubs along with him together.
Yeah.
Where in the same way where Bruce Arians said, and obviously whatever was going on with Brady, that might be another piece of the iceberg we haven't talked about here, but but Arians saying I wanted to go out and set things up for my guy, you know, and how maybe Popovich will have a chance to do that. You know, I don't know who the Todd Bowles of this equation is going to be, but you know,
yeah.
I think this is a chance for the Spurs to set up post Pop and have him have a role in that, which is so rare as well.
It's
in
so
our
rare
world.
Because you know how fickle coaching is. I mean, you can be coach of the year 1 year, fired the next. It's a tough gig, and it's not for the weak-hearted. So I think it's very cool. And look, unless something drastic were to happen, a new ownership, what have you, and things completely change, then we know that whoever comes next is going to be thought out, will be part of the Pop tree. I mean, it could be Mike Boonhole. It could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do like the idea that you got these 3 years if you want them to sort of set things up and get things in the best case scenario. And look, they're not going to come out next year and win 70 games. So for all we know, they keep being sort of near the bottom or in the mid, and you keep kind of building and growing and going forward. It's a great position to be in. It's all part of his already pretty fabulous legacy. That the idea that now you will build, if this kid turns out to be everything people think he will be, you will be at the ground floor of that. And I mean, what else could you ask for as Coach Pop?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's like Pacino choosing who the nanny's going to be when he's 90.
You know? Yeah, be careful. That man is fertile. I mean, everyone needs to slow down.
You got a good Popovich story you're willing to share? What's your favorite one, Michelle?
My favorite thing about Pop is, like, he scolds me a lot because I tend to eat not the way he probably, like, for him, every meal is an event, right? He does not take meals for granted. Mm-hmm. He loves food. He loves wine, whatever. Whereas I'm just like, when I'm alone, I'm just going to eat cheese and crackers and call it a night. Like, it's not a big deal. So I get scolded a lot by him for that. He knows how much I love New York. I love Pop so much because he knows how much I love New York. He's always reaching out to me. Last year was such a, it was such a cool experience. It was my second year, but it was my first year traveling because they had not been traveling.
Right.
So to be on the plane and have Pop sort of come back and throw a magazine at me and yell at me to read an article and then kind of come. I mean, the other crew is just like, what is going on? I was like, guys, he's giving me advice about wine. Like, I don't want to hear it. And it's so awesome because, again, this is my favorite team. It's the only team I cheer for and root for decades now. It's surreal at times to sort of be like, are Pop and I, like, we're hotel gym buddies. We're always in the hotel gym at the same time. Like, it's just a very surreal thing for a Spurs fan to have. And he's not a guy that, as we all know, he's prickly to a lot. So I do not take it for granted. I these are special times, however long they last. I'm loving it.
What does he listen to when working out? What does he do?
I think he's kind of a chatty guy. Like, he sort of talks and then he makes little snide comments because it'll be usually, you know, there are a couple coaches that'll be in there at the same time. It's that team hotel thing. Yeah, he's more of a chatty guy.
Oh,
like,
really?
That's kind of his thing.
Is he trying to get out of working out? Just, is he spending time? Is that... That's why I
don't know. No,
chat between reps.
He's definitely doing stuff. I see him working.
That's good.
And then he's doing like little cyclings of things, and I'm like, huh, what does he do? I'll watch a movie or something on an elliptical, and he'll come and see what I'm watching. I'm like, it's not that good. It just gets me through the 30 minutes.
How great is this, Michelle? I mean, you're going to have a front row seat to Victor Wembanyama arriving for Popovich for the Spurs. I mean, this is it. Like, this is like book material. This is it. You're at the front. I mean, today's the 20th anniversary of LeBron being drafted. It would be basically if the Cavs had a legendary coach like Popovich at the end of his championship Hall of Fame reign getting LeBron. That's the only analogy.
Oh,
you know, it's incredible.
I mean, that's crazy to think about. Yeah, you're right. It's crazy to think about. I'm excited for the season to start.
I bet.
I'm nervous for Victor. I mean, there's, you know, as much as the feel-good vibes are here, the rest of the league and fans are like, they want to take him down, rightfully so. So it's going to be a long season. But I, you know, maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm crazy, but he really seems like a chill kid. And if that is what we're going to get a lot of, then he's in a great position to really sort of handle what is a very, very hot spotlight.
Michelle Beadle, thank you for the time. It's funny, you said earlier in our conversation when you were talking about the dinner that the photograph, you said something along the lines like, I would know what that meant, what that felt like or something like that. Because that never...
No, yeah, career moment where you arrived.
Right, I mean, I certainly didn't have to do with a dinner at ESPN. Or lunch.
No, God, no.
Oh, my God. I thought that's what you meant, because I'll tell you the story of John Walsh, the father of the godfather of SportsCenter, taking me to a lunch at some greasy spoon down the street from ESPN. And I thought to myself, I've arrived. Like, I'm an ESPN executive is taking me for a meal. Like, what a dream come true. And then I realized that for have him spend $10 for me on lunch, I'd have to keep reordering soda after soda. And then the bill came and the big surprise was free refills. So,
they just didn't do it the same there, did they? No, my moment was getting to do the Western Conference Finals as the NBA countdown person, like full circle. And I cried a little bit. No, nobody bought me dinner at ESPN. Who are you kidding?
No, no, it was, I think, $7.75 was what.
Or you just go to the cafeteria and that was it.
No. Yeah, I know. Exactly. there. So Pop picked up the check. He picked up the check. That's confirmed.
I have to imagine he did. I mean, look, there's no shortage of wallets in that room, but
right.
I would have to think it was all Pop,
because
that is one of his favorite restaurants. That's
okay.
Top five.
All right. Cause if this was the NFL, Wembanyama would have been stuck with the bill with multiple screaming Eagles ordered by the group, you know.
God.
That'd have been
NFL guys don't play. That's one of the meanest hazing things that exists in sport. It's ridiculous. The Screaming Eagle bottles, that's not right.
Well, unless you're drinking for free. Thanks for the call, Michelle. Appreciate it. Let's do this more often.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. @MichelleDBeadle on Twitter, @Michelle @DotBeetle on Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Great analogy. I was, again, our analogy was Belichick getting Caleb Williams at this point.
Yep.
And she goes, Al Pacino having a baby. That was very good. Next level by Beetle.
Yeah, that was good.
But seriously, think about it. What she's going to have a front row seat for.
It's going to be pretty wild.
And she said people will be gunning. They will be gunning. Dude, he's going to be 7'5". Dribbling in the top of the arc, right? He's going to be...
He can defend the rim and then defend the closeout on a corner three on the same play.
Yeah, that's true.
There was a picture that Hoskins popped up during the interview where he was dribbling. I don't know if you picked up on this. The basketball was in his palm as he dribbled.
Okay.
You still had about 5 inches of fingers hanging. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, is the basketball smaller or it's just his hand?
It's just
because we saw what he did to a baseball.
It's just his hand.
I don't know, is the basketball smaller in France?
No. No.
It's not?
No. It's like if we were playing with one of those kids' mini balls.
The Nerf mini, yeah.
That's what it's like for him. Us, 7 foot hoop, mini ball, him. 10-foot real.
So basically, you've had a front row seat to what we might see with Cage the last couple of years with the little tykes?
Yes, exactly.
Is what you're saying?
Except I'm standing under there trying to block every shot.
Okay, well, that's what the NBA is going to do. They'll try to do is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're just going to dunk all over. I mean, he's going to be a target every single night. Remember when everyone tried to dunk on Sean Bradley when he came into the league?
Yeah.
Minute, same deal.
Also, when you're like the high-profile rookie, like you remember... Lonzo's first game, Pat Beverly literally got inside of his jersey with him and just like hounded this kid the entire game. Like, people are going to want to test him, you know.
Let's take a break. Hard Knocks news and the top five list as requested. Oh. Top five juiciest Super Bowl matchups for this upcoming NFL season. That's how we roll in the final Monday in June.
The average on-farm income in the United States was a loss of $1,100. 60% of U.S. pork comes from one company wholly owned by the Chinese. And farmers are more likely to commit suicide than veterans. Folks, we got a problem. I'm Lucinda, 8th-generation farmer and founder of Moink. Moo plus oink. We offer grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon, shipped straight from the heart of rural America. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with us by putting the family farm at the center of your supper table. What's in it for you? You mean besides saving the family farm and enjoying the highest quality meat on God's green earth? Geez, want me to hang the moon for you too? I'd love to.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum right now and get a free gift in your first order.
Get to getting while the getting is good.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum. Moinkbox.com/yum.
I guarantee you're fixing to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
First up, celebrity true or false with Boban. True or false, you eat soup every single day. Is that true?
Yes, true.
Why is that?
Yeah, because it's a big deal in my country, soup. And we eat soup every time. This is like when you're growing up, you say, hey, first you start your meal with the soup, and after that you can eat whatever you like.
Okay.
It's not, basically, it's like how we do. Like, when you eat soup, like, basically, you feel like you're healthy because, like, a little bit fuller stomach.
Oh, sure.
And, like, not hungry too much.
So do you, at some point during the day, oh, you know what, I haven't eaten soup yet. I need to have my soup. You have had that.
Yes.
Okay, what is your favorite soup?
Buttermilk squash, chicken noodle soup, tomato soup, mushroom soup, everything, like.
Okay. Have you thought about making your own line of soup? Boban soup.
Boban soup. You know, like, this is a good idea. I would think about it.
Here, let's pound that out.
I would think about it.
Pound that out. Very good.
I would think about it.
Next one for Boban. Celebrity true or false with Boban.
False.
You do not like... you do not like cake.
No cakes. Not big fan.
Why? What's wrong
no
with cake?
No cakes. I like small desserts. Like, if I eat something, I will eat like something like really like to enjoy, because small desserts.
Did you get they're all small.
Yeah, they're all small too. Everything.
So if I have you over for dinner, soup, Nutella crepe.
Yes.
Okay, that's the
easy.
That's a combination. That's very simple.
This like a couple bucks, nothing more, nothing too much.
Last one for you, Boban. True or false? You love to shake hands. Is that true?
But like, to be honest, people more like to shake my hands than like to shake. You know, every time, okay, you know, like every time, you know, like when somebody come to me, like I just come from the restroom, I wash my hands, I ready to eat food, and I was like walking like this. I hope somebody not shake my hands, and that time like somebody comes, hey, how are you? And I was like, how are you?
That's when you go with the fist pound, right there.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Fun stuff from back in the day, all on our YouTube page. Check it out. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. What is the Hard Knocks news, Christopher Brockman? What do you got for me over there?
Well, according to our good friend Mike Florio, the Jets are bracing themselves for a situation where they are forced into doing Hard Knocks this year.
Bracing themselves.
As you know, they're one of the four teams that are, you know, with the new parameters, eligible. Jets, Saints, Bears, Commanders. Pretty much all four have expressed that they don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders, according to Mike Florio, would do it if forced upon. But
they all have to do it if forced upon.
I know, but they would kind of embrace it, whereas every other team would just kind of be like, "Ugh, you're here." Kind of like the, you know, Mike Mayock treated it.
Sorry, Raiders folks. Did
it. But it seems like the Jets are clubhouse leader at this.
Yeah. That's gonna happen.
It
has to happen. It should happen. I know they don't want to. Look, coaches want to control the controllables. They don't want to have a camera crew, you know, in the building. And it's as unobtrusive as intrusive can get. They're very good at this with NFL films. It's just the whole business of sneaking it, you know, past the goalie. You pointed it out. Mayock was the goalie, and he sticked aside everything. He stood on his head like he was Dominic Hasek.
He wasn't even in that season.
Right, and that was when Antonio Brown was doing Antonio Brown things with his feet and his helmet and everything like that. And you remember the Raiders' Hard Knocks. It was just tuning in to see what Brown was going to say, and then he hardly appeared in the episode.
Yeah, we got no Josh Jacobs. Remember, he barely was even in.
Yeah, it's kind of Jonathan Abram, mostly.
But. So Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, seeing Breece Hall, whether he's coming back or not, and on target. You know, I know that they want to lie low. But this is what happens when you go and swing for the fences and get Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me? And I'm sure they could just basically tell Aaron, just, you know, we'll see you from afar. And leave him alone. I mean, this is the way that it. They set it up where teams that don't make the playoffs for a certain amount of time and haven't done it for a certain amount of time.
And don't have a new coach.
Yeah. You are eligible to say, you're it. And I'm sure the league heard from the Jets they don't want it and have done everything that they can to try and find someone else to do it. This is inevitable. I think the Jets are going to wind up doing it.
Also, Rich, the amount of eyes it brings, not only to just the Hard Knocks, right, but like, how invested are you after you've watched the season of Hard Knocks? You tend to pay attention to that team a little more as the season goes. Like,
yeah.
I watched more Lions last year, basically because I felt like loved their season. You kind of get drawn in with their players. So you tend to pay a little bit more attention
Absolutely.
To them, too. So that just brings more eyes to you.
I welcome you aboard the Jets bandwagon.
Oh, I never said bandwagon.
Well, I mean, you said that if there's a team that does Hard Knocks, it causes you to be more interested and root for them, and so that would be great.
That's not a bandwagon.
Come on board.
It just means I'll like.
Come on board, the guy who was a big Mike White fan, like you were.
I was just trying to make.
You were the founding member of the Mike White
fan
club.
Trying to I was trying to prepare you for where we're at right now, that Zach was not going to be your quarterback, and you didn't want to hear it. So, you know.
So you're saying if the Jets do Hard Knocks, you're going to become more of a Jet fan?
No.
You'll be more interested in the Jets. You'll be following them.
I'll pay a
See how
bit
he's
more
backtracking
attention.
Now that I pointed out, like, I was such a big Lion fan.
I didn't say
it's great.
I'm like, that doesn't mean I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. It means I won't turn the channel when their games come.
There's only one bandwagon you're on.
Yeah,
the Cowboys. The NFL season, of course.
That's it.
I get it.
Like how last year watching the Lions, how many people took Amon-Ra St. Brown earlier in their fantasy draft because they saw it on Hard Knocks, and you fall in love with the story. You see his dad in the weight room with them.
Like Jamal Williams. How are you not a deal. Fan of that dude? Yeah,
exactly. And I'm sure there are many members of the Jets many are unfamiliar with that would
same deal.
Fall up right.
Absolutely.
But with Rodgers needing his space and the Jets wanting to give him his space because he's about to have more eyes on him than ever before, with all due respect to Green Bay Packer fans, and I understand how rabid Cheesehead Nation is, and I get it. I'm talking about local news coverage. It's going to be intense. So why do you need an extra 4 weeks or 5 weeks of intensity? I understand what they're trying to do. Everybody's trying to prepare under the radar. They're not asking to thump their chest, look at us. I understand they don't want that. There's going to be enough pressure. As I said, it's the most pressure-packed situation, I believe, of any team in the NFL this year. The Jets have this year for Aaron Rodgers, and maybe no other. This is their best team they've had in a long time that Rodgers makes that much better. They want to be completely under the radar screen. I don't believe they will have that luxury. Because it's not just Rodgers. I want to know about Breece Hall. They also don't want a front row seat to Quinnen Williams, maybe having to hold out or not. They got to get him done. There's a lot for them to do. Without every single week, HBO having the latest.
You personally, as a Jets fan, take away your profession. Yes. As a Jets fan, would you want to see it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course I would. And I love Saleh, and I think Nathaniel Hackett, you know, the couple times that I met him, he's a really, you know, outgoing guy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want...
You tell the Jets tough. This is what's happening.
Well, they're gonna. I mean, it's inevitable. I guess they were knocking on other teams' doors saying, would you like to do it?
They were trying to get volunteers.
Or the Lions to do it again?
Right.
No way.
No way.
They try to get volunteers. And the reason why they set this situation up and the membership voted for it is because there were no longer volunteers. No one's raising their hand saying, we'll take Hard Knocks. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And when you call this program and you give a good suggestion, we'll take it. That's what RES Consulting's all about. We're always up for it.
We're for the people.
Bryan Cranston told a great story, that scene where he was Dr. Tim Watley on Seinfeld taking the laughing gas before administering it to Jerry Seinfeld, one of the funniest scenes he's ever been in Seinfeld, said that idea came from an electrician on top of a ladder.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, you know, before you give Jerry the laughing gas, what would be funny is if you do it. He did it. Great idea.
Very funny.
And he said that taught him, best idea wins. We're like, we have that mantra here.
Best idea wins.
And Dane in Washington last Friday.
That's right.
Called up and said, I want to see a top five list of the top five juiciest Super Bowl matchups. Mm. And I thought of it. Came up over the weekend. Here it is. Top five list right here. Hit it. Jason Feller. Top five juiciest Super Bowl matchups. Mm. I tried to keep it in the realm of possibility. This one is, I believe, the least possible, but I threw it out there because you never know, and it's entirely possible. Not one, but two rookie quarterbacks making the Super Bowl from this year.
That would be insane.
And it brings Frank Reich on the doorstep of denying the Indianapolis Colts a championship. Colts versus Panthers. Anthony Richardson versus Bryce Young.
That would be kind of awesome.
And it's Frank Reich 1 year after being bounced mid-season by the Colts, bringing the Panthers back to the Super Bowl with Bryce Young, and it's Anthony Richardson and the Colts.
Wow.
Do you think that'd be a juicy week in Las Vegas, Nevada?
I do, because the Colts are 100-1 and the Panthers are 80-1.
I'm just saying it's a long shot.
Yeah.
It's a long shot, but we're talking juicy here. And one never knows in the NFL.
That's awesome.
Okay. Number four on this list. Who would have thunk this could be possible? And it is. Back in the day, in a national championship night in Atlanta, when Alabama played Georgia, and one kid gets benched for the other, and the kid wins a national championship in his one opportunity in the second half of the game, and then years later, Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins take on Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, Nevada. Who could think that would have been possible on that night? Nick Saban comes out and flips the coin, you know, before the game. And you know what? The Eagles won it last year, and we all think they're as good as they get. And wouldn't it be amazing if it's a team filled with Georgia Bulldogs out there with Devontae Smith as well on the field, and Tua and the Miami Dolphins are in the Super Bowl as well? That would be pretty juicy, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
All right. Good one. Number three. When you think of a team playing in their home stadium for the Super Bowl and winning it all, who do you think of?
Tom Brady.
Okay. With all due respect to Matthew Stafford.
Of course.
Think
about Tom Brady.
What's a team that Tom Brady might take a piece of ownership of in time for the playing season?
The Raiders.
And who is the quarterback of that team?
We think
it's going to be
Beller's boy.
He's Jimmy got G. the Jimmy G shirt
Jimmy
on,
G
don't
shirt
you?
On now.
How about the Raiders playing in their home stadium with Tom Brady in the owner's suite with Mark Davis, and the team that they're taking on is Jimmy G's former team in the San Francisco 49ers?
That's pretty fun.
How about Raiders, Niners, a little Bay Area battle, even though I understand one team's no longer in the Bay Area, with Tom Brady in the building.
That's not bad.
For the Las Vegas Raiders, who he owns a piece of, with Jimmy Garoppolo, who he once sent to the San Francisco 49ers, reportedly, allegedly. And that team is back in the Super Bowl, and it's Jimmy G who they're facing in Las Vegas, home of the Raiders. How juicy would that be?
That's pretty juicy.
Okay. Number two on this list. How am I doing so far?
Especially when Brady plays in the game.
Okay. How am I doing so far?
Pretty good. I like this so far.
Number two on the list.
You could have had Miami Philly a little higher, I think.
No. I kind of like Raiders in their hometown. Brady in the building. It's the 49ers.
Okay. Could not had Philly in at all.
Okay. Very good. Sorry. Well, you won't take the fact that the Cowboys aren't even on my list. Here's number two.
Haters hate. That's what they do.
Russell Wilson shows you he's not only still got it, he's making the Super Bowl. And the team he faces is the Seattle Seahawks. And we've seen the Broncos and Seahawks play each other, have we not, in the Super Bowl. And Sean Payton is back in the Super Bowl. I thought to myself, do I put Sean Payton versus the Saints? Yeah, but that doesn't have as much juice as Sean Payton back in the Super Bowl himself, taking on Pete Carroll. By the way, there have been some Saints-Seahawks playoff games, Russ versus Drew Brees, by the way. But Russ taking on Seattle in the Super Bowl for Denver and Sean Payton against Pete Carroll in Las Vegas, Nevada, sign me up. That's pretty damn juicy all week long. Mm. And by the way, that would be, don't you think, potentially a seat at the table in Canton for the winning coach of that game?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk legacy? Second Super Bowl win for Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Second Super Bowl win for Sean Payton. One and two each in a different spot.
Winner Hall of Fame for sure.
Okay. Number one on the list. It's a no-brainer. You know it.
Cowboys
know
versus.
It, and the American people know it.
Jets Packers, baby.
If Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are in the Super Bowl against one another.
Holy smokes.
Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers, that Aaron Rodgers does, in fact, take the Jets to the Super Bowl, exactly as the Jets and all of their crazy-ass fans, including me, dreamt possible. And the team they face is Green Bay. Get out of here. Juiciest matchup, period, end of story. And that's my top five juiciest
Super
Bowl.
One more? All right, we'll get one
I got
more.
One more.
Wow, I'm not going to flip out.
I don't think this is possible. But what if the Cleveland Browns make it and the team they see is Baker Mayfield's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What if Baker Mayfield takes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back to the Super Bowl like Tom Brady in his first year of the new spot, stunned. And the team they see is the Cleveland Browns, who finally make it to a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson, and the person they see in front of him is Baker Mayfield. Wouldn't that be juicy?
Yeah. We'd be so rich if this happens.
What are you talking? You're looking at odds, is that what you're saying?
I'm calculating the odds for all of these matchups right now.
He's looking at odds.
That's my list of juiciest Super Bowl matchups. So I just couldn't. The one that I was matching up, I get Rodgers with Mike McCarthy. I don't think fans would really even care about
that.
The one that I thought that would be juicy would be Bills Cowboys, just like back in the old days. Like the Cowboys are back and the team they see is Buffalo.
I get why you didn't do it, because your matchups are more like fantasy based, whereas if you put the Cowboys on, that would be more like this is a reality that could happen.
I
understand.
No, the Cowboys are juicy to begin with, just because of who they are. I will give you that. But I just couldn't really match them up with what Kansas City, is that juicy? What, just Lamar Hunt used to, own Dallas Texans? I mean, who cares when it comes to it? What, you raised your hand? You got something over there?
No, Del Tufo's trying to get in.
No, Del Tufo's outside right now.
Oh, is he really?
He's trying to get in the door.
He's like trying to get in the door, but the badge doesn't work during show hours.
Okay, during the show hours. Okay, very good.
Hey, let him in.
Let him in.
Yeah, I think
I'm thinking also just teams that have never been there before would be fun. I mean, Vikings, Browns. Two kind of lovable losers. Throw the Lions in there, maybe.
I get it.
Maybe Lions,
but that's
Browns.
That's not juicy. That's not like, red meat. And I understand that Raiders, Niners might not be, but those are two incredibly passionate fan bases as well. The Raiders get back to the Super Bowl and it's in Vegas and Jimmy G takes on his former team and Brady, that's his childhood team, is the 49ers taking on the Raiders. That Brady's first year in ownership, just like everything else in his life, he makes the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Like, you don't think we'd be talking about that?
It's a little chalky, but I think a good one would be Cowboys-Bills.
That's what I was thinking. But to me, that's not as... I think he got distracted with Del Tufo at the door, which I would as well. And he's trying to count his money that he's not going to really lay on the line in his head. All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll set up the rest of the week in a moment.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
How many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
All right, the Rams just took a 27-3 lead on the Buccaneers from the playoffs 2 years ago NFL Network.
Man, what a game.
See, if you want to watch that comeback, only to have Stafford go up top to Cup to win that game.
The defense breaking down in that play.
Oh, yeah, after Brady led the comeback?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, really? Of course they're throwing deep. What are you doing? Cover Cooper Kupp.
Well, and as we all know, Al Michaels would then go on to call another playoff game in the state of Florida, but that comeback actually completed.
What about Titans-Rams?
Titans-Rams. Why? Just because?
A rematch of one of the great Super Bowls.
Speaking of games that Al Michaels called?
Two pretty big long shots. The Titans have the third longest.
But that's not juicy. Like, AFC, what will we talk outside of outside of that rematch? What would we talk about? I'm just, Colts Panthers is. I just was trying to match teams up one with another, and that one jumped out at me. As you know, we've never had two rookies go at it against each other.
You didn't
like
Jeremy Fowler's Jets Cowboys?
Jets Cowboys, all that is New York and Dallas, right? Well, Rodgers versus Dallas. It's good. It's Rodgers versus Mike McCarthy. It's pretty juicy.
It's pretty juicy.
I just didn't want to put two Jets on there because I don't want to be accused of being a cheerleader for the team.
Well, too late.
Which one would you take off? Raiders, Niners, you weren't into.
Raiders, Niners, the Tom Brady stuff, but it's not, you know, it's Tom Brady's hometown team. If Brady's playing in the game, I'm more into that.
He's not playing in the game.
You don't know that. You can't say that for sure. When the season's over, then we'll say for sure that he didn't play in the game.
He's not playing in the
game. You can't roll that out.
I'm telling you right now, he won't be playing in the game.
You can't roll that out. No. He's coming back.
Oh, good to know. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Back here on our program. Del Tufo just arrived. I guess he is going to be sitting in that seat for the rest of the week.
Who knows?
What about the soccer pre-World Cup thing?
I don't know. The Gold Cup?
Where is he?
I don't know. He's already gone. Oh, he's back there. Okay. And at the same time that he gained access to the studio, Susie just landed. So she's back.
Oh, nice.
Which means I have to stop putting dishes in the sink and put it right in the dishwasher.
Clean up after yourself? Yeah.
That was great. Literally having the home to myself this weekend.
You can do whatever you want.
Honestly, I left clothes on the floor. I put dishes. I left it in the sink.
Did you
I just would take it. Guys, you want to talk about really cutting loose?
Wow.
I would take a dish, put food on the dish.
Mm-hmm.
I would eat the food off the dish. I would then just leave the dish in rooms that had no business the dish being in. I would leave, honestly, rooms that it would just be like if Susie walked through it, she'd be like, what the hell is that doing here?
Why is there a
I would leave it there on the washing machine. I would leave it there. And I would leave it there thinking to myself, this is great. I'm going to leave a dish wherever I damn well please. But I better remember
where you left it.
Where I left it. Because I'm not going to leave it there. And so, honestly, what I did today, it was like a tech team coming through, like the Bourne Identity. I went through place. Seriously.
Did you drink out of a carton?
Oh, no. Come on, man.
So basically,
I have some self-esteem.
Well, I'm just saying, no one else is going to be drinking out the milk for a while.
No, but I would then take the dish, and then sometimes I would just leave it in the sink. I would take a knife and just leave it in the sink by itself, a lone knife in the sink. Do you understand what an issue that would be if Susie was home?
Really?
Oh, gosh.
So both of our bosses got back, is what you're saying.
Del Tufo and Susie.
Yeah.
Del Tufo. Yeah,
it wouldn't be a major. I don't want to paint like, you know, Warpath stuff. No. But it would be just like what I get the what's your malfunction? Plus, it'd also be like you're not showing the kids what should be done. So the kids weren't there. Susie wasn't there. Honestly,
you did what you wanted.
It was almost like Tom Cruise in Risky Business, except the fact, you know, I didn't, you know,
fly around.
I didn't
underwear.
Blast music.
Yeah. No Bob Seger.
No, and I don't look like Tom Cruise. Mm. And there was no Rebecca De Mornay.
You're taller than Tom Cruise.
I didn't have to pay to get the furniture back.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was paying for.
You were more like Macaulay Culkin at Home Alone.
I was like that.
Did you order a pizza this weekend?
Oh, I did last night.
Oh.
The issue with that is that Susie gets the Postmates messages on her phone too.
She was like, "Did you order a pizza on my account?"
I was running risks this weekend. You understand how risky I was this week? Do you understand how many risks I ran this weekend?
What about Steelers Cowboys?
I guess
it's a throwback to the 70s.
I understand that, or the 90s, but not to sound like Kyler Murray. But who the hell are the Cowboys these days? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Oh wow!
Didn't he say that recently? Right. Like it's just like millennials don't get it. They don't get it.
TV viewers get it. Though.
Brandon Miller gets drafted second overall, even though he thinks Paul George is the GOAT.
Hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I'm just looking for other juicy matchups.
What about cups? Did you just leave cups in the sink?
Oh, cups. Of all, like coffee mugs, wine cups, tall glasses, just everywhere. It was great.
It was great.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Did you leave lights
towels,
on?
Towels, wet towels unhung?
Did you leave lights on in the room when you left?
Oh, no. Okay, I'm efficient. I'm energy efficient.
Gotcha, that makes
doesn't
sense.
Matter. I don't need, you know. But, I mean, seriously, some traps were taken off.
What if we just ran back Chiefs-Eagles?
You're still on this.
That was a fun game.
Two different conversations going on.
About, you know, you.
That was a good game last year.
I know. Is it juicier than Colts Panthers?
We got Mahomes going for number 3. Suddenly he's tying Troy Aikman. He's, you know, almost halfway to Brady.
I get it. I got it.
All right.
You really want to see? I don't think people want to see matchups, rematches in the Super Bowl. I don't think they do.
Okay.
You know, you got to switch it up sometimes. Like when your wife isn't home and there's a sock on the floor, you walk past it. Yeah. You walk past it. You leave it.
You even kick the sock when you walk by it?
You leave it where it was. Not like you don't hear somebody saying, "Did you just walk past that? You're not going to pick that up."
How about Lions Jaguars?
It's amazing.
Looking for my Eisenpalooza drop.
Oh,
Eisenpalooza. Lions Jaguars.
Okay,
that's a fun game.
Not as fun as leaving a sock on the floor instead of picking it up. Oh yeah, it's just great. And it's all over. Party's over.
Game over, man. Game over.
Did you say no one cares about the Cowboys, though? That's kind of disrespectful.
I didn't say that. That was disrespectful. I said millennials do not sit here and go, "Oh, that's a great throwback game because it involves the Cowboys." Because didn't Kyler Murray recently basically say, "Who are the Cowboys?"
Yeah. That was like 4 years ago.
Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
It's like, "Hey, bro, I'm 23 years old. Kyler it's been Murray. 25 years since they've been in the
undefeated at AT&T Stadium, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Thanks to Michelle Beadle. Thank you.
In her arms.
To Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Tomorrow's show, Lil Rel Howery will be here. Hey. And Tom Pelissero just earned himself a call.
Uh-oh.
Because he says Brock Purdy's going down to Jacksonville to throw.
To throw?
Yes. Under the watchful eye of coaches and doctors.
Ooh.
He's going to start.
Coaches and doctors.
Yeah. It's watchful. See? Sometimes you got to do the right thing. Mm. Unless you're living by yourself.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.